Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Our past and future are not very difficult to understand. For time is under the contamination of the three modes of material nature. As soon as spring arrives, the usual exhibition of various types of fruits and flowers automatically becomes manifest. And therefore, we may conclude that spring in the past was adorned with similar fruits and flowers and will be so adorned in the future also. Our repetition of birth and death is taking place within time, and according to the influence of the modes of nature, we are receiving various types of bodies and being subjected to various conditions. So, first statement, our past and future are not very difficult to understand. And the reason is that time, colour, is affected by contamination, contaminated by the three modes of material nature. So each one of us is impacted by the modes of material nature that we have associated with, and by that association have acquired. And Prabhupada gives the example of spring. In fact, it's mentioned in the translation, but interestingly enough, if you look at the word for word, spring itself is not mentioned at all. Interesting. But Prabhupada continues that example in a purport. We perhaps haven't quite exited the spring, but in our garden at home, usually in wintertime, we're struggling to find flowers, except for the lavender. This lavender always seems to grow strongly at any time of the year. Although it suffers also, actually, in the heat of summer. So the magnolias bloom, the gardenias bloom, the chrysanthemums, everything blooms in spring, or certainly a lot of flowers, and so there's an abundance of flowers. And this happens every year, the seasons change, and every spring we get the process is the usual exhibition of various types of fruits and flowers. We've planted berries at the farm, so the berries are now starting to fruit. Yes, which is interesting. So Prabhupada makes a point here that because spring is filled with fruits and flowers in our current experience, then we can surmise, or Prabhupada conclude, that springs in the past were similarly endowed, or we had the same experience. And of course, that's all borne out by our experience, right? And so therefore we can assume that spring in the future will be the same because of our experience in the past. And of course we can expect, unless something very untoward happens, spring is generally the same. And so we can extend that analogy, or properly extend that example, to our personal experience, and that we can determine, because of the experiences we have now in this lifetime, because of the qualities and the characteristics that we exhibit in our character, in our personality, we can then appreciate what must have transpired in a previous lifetime or previous lifetimes, and what will happen in the future, based on what's happening in the present. Prabhupada makes a point at the end of the purport. Our repetition of birth and death is taking place within time, and according to the influence of the modes of nature, we get different types of bodies, and subjected to the various conditions of existence, of life. You know, there's a Christian saying, as you sow, so you shall reap. So this is a very basic principle of karma, action and reaction. And we know that from reading the scripture, the Shastra, that we come to the human form of life after many, many lifetimes. Bahu Jamma, right? Many, many births. But we can appreciate it because of the current circumstances, and based on this principle, we can appreciate what we were doing in the previous lifetime. It's unlikely that we were animals in a previous birth, highly unlikely, but that we were a human species. And may even have taking part in devotional activities. If we're performing devotional service now, that means that's a continuation of service performed in a previous life. Quite possible. A little bit or a lot. But certainly we can appreciate that in order to take birth in the human form of life, there must have been pious activities performed, because that's, you know, the human species is at the top of the 8,400,000 species of life. And it's a great opportunity to take advantage of a position or a situation or circumstance where one can use intellect, one can use inquiry, we've come into human form of life. Now's the time to inquire. What is the purpose of existence? Who am I? Why am I suffering? What am I really supposed to do? These are higher levels of inquiry into the real purpose of existence. Not just, ahara nitram mayam mantanam ja, Prabhupada quotes. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, kind of questions. These are the questions of the animals. This is the animal life. But in the human form of life, of course, some basic needs have to be met. So that's part of the human experience. But the real purpose of the human experience is to inquire into the nature of self. So if we see that tendency in a devotee, then we, according to this philosophy that Srila Prabhupada is giving us, that tendency must have been there previously also. Perhaps not perfected. Well, obviously not perfected, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So, and when we get the opportunity to associate with the devotees, then we're experiencing the influence of the mode of goodness. You know, automatically. What's rising early, performing basically Shravana and Kirtana, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Well, first thing, what's the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning? What's the first thing we should do when we wake up in the morning?
Offer obeisances.
Offer obeisances. Yeah, I see. Okay, so, yeah. Offer obeisances to your pillow. See you later. But offer obeisances to the spiritual master. Yeah, but more. After that, what do you do? Chant, yep. Hare Krishna. Why do I feel so bad? What do we do? What's the first thing we do in the morning?
Bathe.
Yes, clean. Shortam. Cleanliness, clean. This is a. I was was, I can't remember how old I was. Early one morning, and in my car, if you want to turn on the navigation, you've got to turn on the radio. I don't know why. It's just, I think it's a design flaw, but anyway. And turned on the radio, and the announcer was interviewing people, and the question was, what do you do, always do, and what do you not do? Right? And the person that was being interviewed said, one thing that I always do in the morning is scrape my tongue. She said, I know it sounds a bit gross, but this is what I always do. Right. Oh, that's interesting. That's what the Hare Krishnas do, or should do. They're the first things that I was taught in the morning. Clean your teeth, clean your take a bath. And this is for me. So jump, cleanliness. And good for your health. She said she learned it at a yoga retreat. Learned how to clean. So cleanliness is important. And of course cleanliness has, there's two factors of cleanliness. There's external. So we deal with the external cleanliness, but that's in preparation for the internal cleaning, right? Because the material energy is made of subtle and gross elements, right? We're dealing with Bhumi and Apona, so, you know, the five gross material elements that can be perceived by the senses. But then there's the mano, the mind and the intelligence, and the false ego. Which are also material elements, but subtle material elements. And the subtle material elements also need purification. The mind needs purification, the intelligence needs purification. We need to be purified of the ahankara, of the false identification of the material body, which will always be with us so long as we've got a material body, so long as we have this. We'll always identify with this particular body as the self, which is valid. But the Vaishnavas, or the advanced transcendentalists, are able to also, through the purification of the subtle and the gross elements, perceive the nature, the real nature of the self, separate from the material body. The sense of self, but self separate from this gross and problem mentioned here. We're influenced by the time factor. We're influenced by time, but simultaneously, and so we're experiencing the change in body. The change of body, but our sense of self remains the same. But the body is always changing. (Clears throat) putting his hand up as an example of the changing bodies.
Senses are also changing. Our eyesight is changing, hearing is changing.
Yes.
Senses are changing.
Everything's changing, that's right. I was talking to one of my friends the other week, I hadn't seen for a while, and he's not the young man that I used to know. He's got a lot more wrinkles and grey hairs. And, so, the body's changing, but the sense of self, the identity of self remains the same. But we don't think of ourselves as being a different person. So this is a quandary, it's a challenge, it's a dilemma, a conundrum. You know, well, I don't feel different, but then I do feel different. Right? So this confusion of identifying with the self as the body, or the self as the in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this is clearly explained that Arjuna asks Krishna, who was the knower? Well, what is the field of activity, first of all? Chetra, what is the field of activity? And who is, or what is the Chetragya, the knower of the field? Who is the knower of the field? And Krishna explains what the field is, made up of the material energy in the body. And the knower is, well, two knowers. There's the Atma, or the Jivatma, and the Paramatma. And the Jivatma is the knower just of this body. And, you know, we can know something of what is beyond. But then there's the Paramatma who knows everything, all fields, and what's going on everywhere, which is hard to, you know, hard for us to fathom. We can appreciate that somebody can know themselves and outside of themselves, but this is why Krishna is inconceivable. Because according to our experience, we don't know anybody who knows anything. That's mind-boggling. So this is the purpose of the human form, is to inquire as to the nature of the self. And of course, why we have literature like the Bhagavad Gita, because it clearly explains, and why the Bhagavad Gita is such is so revered in Vedic culture, because it gives the basic information clearly presented systematically, so that we can understand the influences that make us who we are now, why we have the human form of life. Because in the past, we had a human form of life. And we got the opportunity to develop, especially for the devotees, got an opportunity to associate with the devotees effectively. That's really the benefit that we got in a previous lifetime. Prabhupada mentions it, well, Rupa Goswami explains that devotional service is a continuation. And Prabhupada, and Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Nihabi Brahmana Sosti Pratyam Vayana Vijite. They're just a little swapama yasya dharamasya, just a little bit of pious activity will carry over into the next life. Okay. Even material pious activity.
Omnir desa.
Yeah. So, you know, If we want to know what we were doing in our past, we can't know the details. But Krishna also says, you know, many, many births. Bahuni Mayavi Dami Janmani Dhavajarana. Many, many births both you and I have experienced. And Krishna, being the Paramatma, says, I can remember all of them. But you cannot. So, you know, how many of us can remember what we were doing in our past lives?
Nothing.
We can't. We have an indication. Because of what's been stated here in the Bhagavad Gita. Not much different to what we're doing now. And it may not be very different in the future. Although we have, in the human form of life, we do get the opportunity to change our destination. So one of the most important instructions of the Bhagavad Gita is, if you remember me, Krishna says, Yama Magama Chame Divyam Yomam Veti Tattataha Chakva Deham Vuna Jama
Neti Mami
Nayeti. No. You want to take birth again. Right? If we do take birth again, good chance in a human form of life. Good chance. Highly likely. And again, we'll be given an opportunity, because that's what I mentioned in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. But these principles are there, they're given. So this is, we shouldn't be surprised by this. This example here. We'll get an opportunity to take birth. This is why I recommend make friends with the kids, because they could be your parents next lifetime. Look after your children. And that's not such a silly thing, because we're associated with the devotees, we get an opportunity to associate with the devotees. That's a given. Actually, that's a given. And an opportunity to perfect, because we have that opportunity now, so we should take advantage of it. Yeah. And a repetition of birth and death is taking place within time. And according to the influence of the modes of nature, we are receiving various types of bodies and being subjected to various conditions. So, there's no loss, no loss or diminution of the practice of bhakti. But we shouldn't think, I'll take birth again and I'll surrender again. Better off surrendering now. We shouldn't rest on our laurels thinking, oh, I can just take it easy and enjoy later on. Yeah. You may not also, with that kind of mentality. So again, now this purification, the human form gives us an opportunity for the purification of the gross and the subtle, and that's where most of our work takes place. On the subtle, and why we chant Hare Krishna primarily, because that's the purification of the deeper conditioning on the subtle level, where we're attached to the enjoyment of the material facility. And we're taught, pretty much, we're taught. We don't reject these things. But rather, we sublimate the attachment to the material by engaging it in spiritual or positive activities. And activities on that, not on the subtle level, although the subtle is involved, but on the purely spiritual platform. And so we are taught that we can take the material, because ultimately all of the energy is coming from Krishna. Right? All energy, material or spiritual, is coming from Krishna. So actually it has a spiritual source. And when it's used for spiritual purposes, the example that Prabhupada gives is of the iron bar. If you get an iron bar and stick it in fire, and then heat it up and heat it up and heat it up, then the iron bar can, by its association with fire, become as good as fire. So when you touch something with the iron bar, it burns. Right. So it's acting like fire. So if we learn the art, we must have been trying to learn that art in previous lives. That's why we're trying to do it in this life. It's a characteristic, a trait, if you like. Not everybody has it. But as a result of our suffering, this is Rupa Goswami's first question to Lord Chaitanya. You know, first of all, who am I? Why am I suffering? Because, you know, we all pursue activities to have fun, right? We don't do things to deliberately cause suffering to ourselves, usually. But still, we do things and we have to suffer the consequences. Well, yesterday I made a mistake and I got into the wrong lane, turning right into City Road off of Ferrars Street. And if you do that, then you have to turn left at the next, so you know. I was going into the city, so I followed my usual route. Because it was peak hour, or close to peak hour traffic. I would have got there in a reasonable amount of time, but I took that left turn and I ended up snaffled up in traffic. Ugh. Huh? And then you're stuck. One little mistake and then you're stuck. And you can't get out. Then this is material life. Make a mistake and then suffer the consequences. This is why asatsanga jana, you know, give up bad association, because bad association you suffer. Right? Make wrong decisions. So human form of life is about making the right kind of decisions. That means inquiring. What is the proper way to act? How do I act in such a way so that I can have a proper understanding of things and able to use things in the right context, the right purpose? Which is, we don't reject the material facility. You can't. It's part of our nature that we are like we are because of this example here. We are like we are because that's who we are. That's the experience that we've had. You can't artificially just give it up. And this is Krishna's point to Arjuna. And so therefore, Rupa Goswami recommends that proper renunciation is using what we've got for spiritual benefit. We don't renounce or artificially renounce something that we're stuck with who we are. And we have to get used to ourselves, whatever the attachments or whatever they are. We can know the attachments that I have now are the attachments I had, I brought from my previous birth. You know, when we're young, children, we don't, you know, we value children because of their innocence. Although actually nobody's innocent, really. Because get to 16, 17, you know, us the parents, 18, 19, 20, you know, then the little monster comes out. Although I'm sure that your children are monsters. Right? And they have good qualities because they're born of parents of good quality. But the remembrance of material desires comes back. This is what's happening. As we grow up, we remember our past condition. Our past conditioning makes its impact, and that forces us to act. Right? This is why this is an interesting verse to meditate on. Why am I like I am now? Why am I who I am in, you know, from a materially conditioned point of view? Because that's what these are the desires, these are the activities that we left from our previous birth. But the reason why the human form of life is so important, and also, you know, this same principle we can apply. There's the inquiry, atato brahma jigyasa. Now I've got the human form of life. Let me inquire about what I should do. Let me take, you know, I want to enjoy. I want to enjoy, but why am I suffering? And of course, this is given in the Bhagavad Gita. The right kind of mentality is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita, how to use the material so that we enjoy. And of course, real enjoyment is not on a material platform. This is one of the messages of the Bhagavad Gita. But what is Adhyanta Ranta Kuntaya Nateshu Ramate Buddha Yehi Samsparsa Jarabhoga. You know, the interaction of the senses with the objects of the senses is not real enjoyment. Or it is enjoyment, yes, but it comes also with suffering. You may have noticed. You may have noticed. Fair bit of suffering, along with a fair bit of enjoyment too, you know, this. Can't say there's no enjoyment in life, because there is. There's that saying, isn't it? Variety is the spice of life. You have to have some suffering, otherwise you can't appreciate the enjoyment. Right? We can't appreciate the enjoyment without some pain. Yeah. What is it? No pain, no gain. Yeah. But what we learn is in our yoga, you know, yoga is meant to link us with our real purpose, with the Supreme, to unite, to be united with God, effectively. You know, we have the word yoke. Yukta, yoga, yukta. So the yoga practice is to link us up with the practice, with the purpose, with the real purpose of the human form. And it's, and according to Bhagavad Gita, it's not enjoying the material facility. That will come. We've got the human form of life. And you know, for Those of us who are living in Melbourne, Australia, or Victoria, we're okay. Right? Anybody here really suffering badly? You wouldn't be here probably if you were. We're doing okay. Especially if we have the opportunity here in Bhagavatam, here to chant Hare Krishna, which is what's recommended, because through the purification of chanting, we're then able to see things very clearly. And refine our inner or our finer
intellect,
yes, intelligence, but refine our personality, our identity in the form of what we desire. Right? Purify on the subtle. We're purifying the subtle experience or the subtle self. And purifying from material proclivity and purifying that into spiritual activity. Action will be there. We're all forced to act. We go to bed at night thinking, yes, I'll have the rest, don't do anything, but you wake up at some point and then you'll be impelled to get up. And so for the bhakti yogi, or for the yogis generally, rise early, take a bath, cleanse, externally clean the teeth, clean the tongue, drink some water, you know, which is, don't then influence the subtle, actually. Will that, even on the external, can influence the internal. Right? A point that, you know, why Prabhupada wanted us to wear devotional clothing, you know. Put on tilak. Why would we put on tilak? To remind us that we're servants of God. Right? We mark the body with the tilak to show others, I'm a servant of Krishna, is what it means. Right? Change, you know, we get out of our, Prabhupada says, pants and coat. Pants and coat. Right? We get out of our pants and coat and we get into our pajamas. Oh, no, anyway. And don't you get kurta or sari. Right? And Prabhupada wanted us to change, Prabhupada wanted to change our consciousness. Right? And so, you know, this is why we put on these, what we call devotional attire, to change consciousness. It's an external thing. Yes, it's an external thing. Right? But it also impacts the internal. Right? And we go to the temple, we pray, we chant. This is all purifying the internal. And giving us a perspective where we see the external not as a facility for us to enjoy, but rather we see it in its proper context. We see it that this is the material energy, even the body that I have, that I've been awarded, isn't really mine. You know, that ultimately everything comes from So everything Krishna says, everything comes from me. Right. Whereas, you know, in an illusion state, we think everything comes from me. Huh? And so therefore I can enjoy it. So, it is interesting. You know, there are those who say, we can wear our coat and pants. You know, it depends on consciousness. If I'm in the right consciousness, it doesn't really matter what I wear. Well, yes, true. That is true. But, we take on the dress of a Vaishnava. Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar Devotion. When I see my disciples with tila and wearing, they look like they've come from Vaikuntha. See, you know, people say, oh, this dhoti, you know, it's only a material thing, it doesn't matter. But, you know, if we read the descriptions of what Lord Vishnu looks like, he's not wearing a boss suit. Is he? What's he wearing? What's in the Bhagavatam, in the description of Lord Vishnu, what is he wearing? A dhoti. What colour is it?
Yellow.
Yeah. So, you know, why do we wear a dhoti? Or a sari or whatever? Why? Because this is the attire that's worn in the spiritual world. That is what Prabhupada wanted us to wear. He didn't want us to bring our shirt and coat and pants and shirt into the spiritual world, because it's kind of a symbol of a culture and a kind of mentality. Of course, when a devotee wears even any kind of clothing, then he automatically transforms it into spiritual attire. But you know, if we're going to dress like the residents of, if we, you know, assuming that we perfect our spiritual activities, right? That means, according to this, spring now is spring in the future, right? So if we're wearing dhoti and kurta now, then we'll be wearing dhoti and kurta in the future. Especially in the spiritual world, because that's the, you know, maybe not the kurta is not. You don't hear, you know, Lord Vishnu is described as wearing a kurta from Lord Dasar. he has a chatter and other bangles and other decorations. And so there's some concession for the, you know, actually for the cooler climates, really. You know, because in the warmer climate, what we really were a dhoti and a chada and a, you know, just a wrap. But that's the devotional, you know, that's the devotional attire. So we embrace that using the facility that we're given, and with the idea of purifying the consciousness, changing the mentality. From one of, let me enjoy the material, you know, what is it? Ishvaraham aham bhogi, right? I am the controller of the enjoyer. To dasasmi, you know, I am the servant. That's the real benefit of the human form of life. And the opportunity to associate with the devotees, the opportunity to, the real, you know, want to leverage the investment that we've made in this form of existence, then it's to use it for the purification of consciousness. And change our mentality from trying to enjoy everything to being a servant, which is our natural dharma. Right? Because we have the words here, well, dharma adharma nidarshanam. We want to reawaken our dharma, which is our natural quality. And the natural quality of the living entity is to serve. We serve. We serve the mind, we serve the senses, we serve the tongue, we serve the belly. We push. We're always a servant. But we want to purify that mood of service so that it is focused on the right purpose. That is to serve Krishna. That's our original identity. Outside of this contamination of the material energy. So, Rupa Goswami encourages us, yes, use the facilities. Don't reject those facilities that can be used for positive purposes and in making spiritual advancement. And if necessary, change. You know, change. Prior to being devotees, we woke up at, 9 o'clock in the morning. But now we're devotees, we rise early in the morning. And chant Hare Krishna, use that time. Human form of life is a great opportunity. Then, if we're engaged in those activities now, we'll engage in those activities in the future. According to this, this is the philosophy. What's our future going to be? Our future will be, if we're not in the spiritual world, because the activities that we're performing here are the same as the activities performed in the spiritual world. Worshipping Krishna, associating with the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, all of these activities will effectively is the same purpose, the same intent. If you want to know what you'll be doing in the future, chanting Hare Krishna, preaching, hopefully, or if very fortunate, elevated to the spiritual world. The interesting thing for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is that we get to elevation to two domains. There's Goloka, with Radha and Krishna, and Navadvipam with Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan Party. Two forms of liberation. And of course the Sankirtan Party is meant for liberating others. It's mentioned that the six Goswamis were Gopi Bhava. They were in the mood of Gopi Bhava. Now what does that mean? What does Gopi Bhava mean? Anybody got any ideas? What's Gopi Bhava?
I'm motivated. I'm motivated devotional service.
Oh yeah, good.
I'm motivated.
Yeah, Rasa?
Radharani is famous for bringing others to Krishna.
Yeah. Seeing that others are cared for and looked after. They work for the benefit of others. Right?
To please Krishna.
And you see that in the description of the Goswamis. Nana Shastra Vicharana Kanipano Sadharma Samstapako. They study the Shastra with the aim of establishing religious principles for the benefit of everyone. Hita Karana, Tribhuvane, all over the three worlds. Krishna Kirtanagana Tanaparo. They were always engaged in glorifying Radha and Krishna in performing Sankirtan, practically speaking. It's Krishna Kirtanagana Tanaparo. Chanting and dancing. Same activities that we're performing. And this is Gopi Bhava. They were absorbed in the mood of the But their activities were manifest in kirtan and dancing and study of the shastra, but what to establish religious principles, right? Which is why now we have our book distribution marathon. Why does this book be Baba? It's distributing transcendental knowledge for the benefit of everybody. Right? So this is the real purpose of the human form of life. So if we're making spiritual advancement, we want to know what we'll be doing in the next life. Well, we'll be going on Sankirtan. You know, I mentioned this before, sometimes people criticize the Hare Krishna. So, if you become a Hare Krishna, they'll just make you go and sell books. Right?
What's wrong?
But this is not mundane, you know, sales. It's transcendental distribution of knowledge. And not just any old knowledge, you know. A multiplied by B equals C, or whatever, right? Not just some material mundane, but this is pure existence. The devotees are selling an opportunity to regain one's pure spiritual identity. Real benefit. So this is our future. This is the future. The future is now. Actually. According to this. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points we've been discussing? Microphone's over there. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Anandaru. Thank you very much for a wonderful class. What we are discussing is Brahmabhuta Prasannatma na shochati na kamshati samasara bhutyeshu maam bhakti lakte parama. So if we are on that platform, transcendental platform, then we can really make a very good advancement.
Yes.
Because we have to please Krishna. And Krishna will please when we chant and distribute the knowledge to others.
Yes.
So most important what we are emphasizing in the lectures, how to distribute this knowledge and how to advance yourself, self-realization, realization, and how to do the same activity what we are doing in spiritual world. Just this for my interest, no question.
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ross had a question, I think.
As you mentioned, what are we doing in this life, it should be similar to the future.
Yeah.
But even in this life, what I have been doing probably last 10 years, last 20 years, nothing there, but I'm a little bit scattering, a little bit of surface now. So how should I look at it in the future?
How should you look at it?
The next life, how should we look at it? Because even my same life, I'm not doing the same thing.
Well, we can pray that we come quickly to Krishna and do devotional service. Get the association of the devotees as soon as possible so that, you know, material activity is given because you've got a material body, you have to act on a material platform. But the real benefit of sangha, you know, association, is to use that for a spiritual purpose. You can't artificially give up your material facility because, well, the material facility provides us also an opportunity to make spiritual advancement. And why the human form of life is so valuable. Yeah. And so we should capitalize, you know, it's an investment, capitalize on the human form of life and the association of the devotees. Krishna mentions Sangha, who we associate with will influence our desires. Right? And when I think about it, I think about my teenage years and just absorption in pop culture. And you probably experienced as a teenager as well. I mean, your culture. Where did you grow up?
Tanya.
Okay, so Bollywood. Right? Singing and dancing and all of that. The Punjabi's pretty good. Having a party, right? I like a party. Everybody likes a party. Right. So, you know, we become absorbed in that, but then with that comes material aspiration, material desire. Because if we mix that with a desire to make spiritual progress as well, but we can see how that association can restrict or influence a person to engage in activities that are motivated by material. By a desire to enjoy the material. So we want to purify that so that we, because we'll have that material facility until we're fully situated in the spiritual realm. But that spiritual consciousness or that spiritual experience can actually be had even in the material. That's the second time mission or the same time experience. And why we like to chant Hare Krishna as a group, because that's a spiritual experience. So Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that as soon as we realize the importance of spiritual life, then we should embrace it wholeheartedly. And don't worry too much about what's happened in the past. Right? Krishna is Hari. He can take it away. Right? And you know, the Bhagavad Gita has mentioned that the ocean of material suffering for a devotee who surrendered to Krishna can shrink to the amount of water that's in the footprint of a calf. So, you know, the material, even though it appears insurmountable and impossible, which it is, by the mercy of Krishna, it can be, you know, just shrunk to insignificance. So we don't need to worry too much about the past. Focus on the present. And the present is, and not worry about the future. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, just, you know, recommendation. Don't dwell in the past or in the future dream about, but live in the present. And that means engaging in the devotional spiritual activities. So that will become the future. Because, as I mentioned before, human form of life gives us an opportunity to make the break, to change, and to make progress. And that's why we do the purification of the external and the internal, to purify the heart, effectively. That's what we're doing by chanting Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Dharma Marjanam Baba. Dabhagni Dr. Anderson.
Yes.
We want to extinguish the fire of material existence from the heart. And that's that lust, effectively, calm. And the chanting of Hare Krishna, it cleanses. Sarvatma Saparam, right? It's the purification, it's the bath for everyone, basically, for purification of the heart. So that's what we're doing. And then that's what will be in the future. So we can change from gross material to subtle spiritual. Or actually, spiritual is even beyond subtle, actually. Mahamaji.
You tell a very important point, absorption. Absorption of Krishna Dutasi.
Yes.
Ananya Sintyantu Maam Yajana Parabhasa Keshami Dvirtana Yokhemu Brahma. I take care of everything. Yokhemu.
Yeah. Okay. You can observe what they have.
Yeah. If you observe yourself.
Yeah. Good point.
Then you can.
Good example.
Everything will be taken care of.
Yes.
Both spiritual and physical.
Yeah.
So that strong faith and determination.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, Krishna will look after us. Vasa?
Thank you, Krishna.
Thank you, Guru. I've been recently listening to classes from Hridayananda Maharaj, who in many years ago, when Srila Prabhupada left us at Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Hridayananda Maharaj and a team, including Gopi Parayanadama and Garuda, took up the translation, completion of Srila Prabhupada's project. And today, when Hridayananda Maharaj gives classes, he will often refer to a Sanskrit dictionary to look at all the how Srila Prabhupada translated and how to continue his mood. So often when I'm hearing Bhagavatam, I'm looking at glossary from Vedas. So the first line, Bhagavana Nanayo Kala, time can also be translated apparently as death.
Death.
So you were mentioning that just as spring, current spring season demonstrates past spring seasons, and that reflects our previous births, so that the translation can complement what you have said.
What? That's good. Kala?
Kala. We often think of time as being present, and the good sense is that Bhaktivinoda says we should be present. But Kala can also, to us personally, as spirit souls who are transmigrating through body after body, time is also deep time. And as you said, we may have remnants of our past lives in this life. In that sense, Kala also represents the passage of death, after death, after death. That's one of them. I'll bring that with you.
Can you paraphrase what Mataji is saying? This paraphrase, I think, from?
Paraphrase. She mentioned that time can also be, according to Srila Prabhupada's translation, and application of time, it means, and Hridayananda Maharaj's following Prabhupada's footsteps, time means death.
Yeah.
And I think that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's not.
Yeah, time is death.
It's just not a superficial. Our experience of time is not superficial as we go through our day. It's also deep because life after life we're experiencing death.
Perfect.
Yes, well, death, yep, it's gone. That last second is now no longer with us, and we're in the next one.
Correct.
And the future doesn't exist either. Although we are creating it. That's the dilemma, if you like. The existential dilemma of existence. What is time?
Krishna.
Yeah. It's the passing of time. Yeah. Okay, I think we should finish at this point. Don't try to remember what time, please.